You're listening to Mind Over Markets, a podcast on trading psychology to help you build a bulletproof mindset. Here's your hosts, George Papazov and Mark Borscht.
All right, trade pros, welcome to Mind Over Markets. And this is a brand new podcast focused at helping traders with their psychology. We're focusing and narrowing in on the mindset to help you cultivate professional trader and successful trader mindset and to help you win in other areas of your life. My name is George Papazov. I'm the founder of Trade Pro Academy, and I'm going to give you my story because I think it's important before you listen to any podcast, any new source of information. I think it's really important to know who's the person giving you that information and what their story is. So I'll tell you my story. And I started trading in the early 2001. I remember it came down to one discussion that I had with my father, and he said, look, I either give you allowance money or I could teach you how to make it. And I'm so thankful that I took the second option because he introduced me to currency trading at that age. I remember putting together a currency strategy, started trading Forex, more specifically the XAU-USD pair, which is essentially gold contract for difference called the CFD. I then later moved into options trading and futures, but I started currency trading at the age of 16. For school, you know, I've always interested in markets, but I decided to pursue a degree in electroengineering technology, which is simply called robotics. I didn't really like it. I remember as I was taking that degree, I was in the lab trading on my computer. I wasn't really focused. So I decided to switch out and go to a financial planning degree, after which I actually ended up getting a job as an internship at Scotiabank, sitting on the customer service side of the trading or the brokerage arm. And if you guys remember what was happening in 2008, it was a massive collapse in the markets due to the housing bubble. And I was on the customer service side, literally taking some very dark phone calls. Some conversations I remember down to the word, the tonality, I even remember the names of the people. And at the time I was actually writing personally a blog where I was detailing a lot of what was happening, the perception of risk and how the market got complacent. I was putting out a lot of articles, yet at the same time, here I am in my career taking phone calls for the same people I'm trying to help. So I wasn't getting through to them. And to me, it had a really big impact in my life. I stuck on with Scotia for another couple of years after that, from August 2011 to 2016. I was a licensed trader at Scotiabank on their desk. And in 2016, I finally decided to pursue my passion full time, left my job. I quit. I gave up the corporate security blanket, gave up a really good salary, and went on my own. And the first month was particularly challenging, which we'll dive deeper into in some of the podcast episodes. But I started Trade Pro Academy as well in 2012. 2016, I took it to the next level full time. In 2018, through a spectacular journey and many trips, costly trips to California, Los Angeles, I got a degree in neuro-linguistic programming, which is called NLP. And that's what really changed or altered the way I saw trading psychology. And I was able to help traders that much more. So we created a course around this as well at Trade Pro Academy. All right, so that's a little bit about me, a little bit about Trade Pro. The company's been around since 2012. Trade Pro is the sponsor behind this entire podcast, and it is the Trade Pro Academy Mind Over Markets podcast. And I have great news for you. It's not going to be just me you're hearing from. You're going to have the opportunity to hear from the co-hosts, so I'm going to let introduce themselves next.
Awesome. Welcome, Trade Pros. My name is Mark Borscht. I'm one of the full-time traders here at Trade Pro Academy. And I just want to thank George for letting me be part of this podcast, co-hosting it with him. And we've got some really, really exciting stuff coming up for you guys. As far as my kind of introduction into trading, a little bit of my backstory, my trading journey kind of started in 2012. At the time, I was in university studying for a finance degree. And it was my first year in university, and I was doing the FIN 401 class. I'll never forget it. And we're pretty much halfway through the textbook. And at one point in the book, it was a big book, around 600 pages or so, and we hit one part on trading and one part on technical analysis. And that part of the chapter, or that part of the book, was only about, you know, 4 or 5 pages of the whole book. And I was kind of wondering why there wasn't more of a focus on the actual technical side of things, more so just the fundamental sides. And so, you know, my curiosity got to me. I started YouTubing, you know, trading. Is it possible? Is it something that I can do? And I found a lot of videos out there that kind of intrigued me into the industry, kind of gave me the insight that this was ultimately the ultimate business model. You didn't really require employees. You didn't require crazy startup capital. And the thing that really interested me about it was that there was no real cap as far as what the earning potential was. And that's kind of what got me into those things. Through my YouTube research, I ended up starting with penny stocks. And I laugh about it now. It wasn't as fun at the time. And so this was around 2012. And the reason penny stocks was the industry that I kind of started in was because legalization, or in Colorado, I believe, in 2012, the states legalized recreational marijuana. And that gave a lot of OTC stocks, penny stocks, a lot of volatility, a lot of presence in the industry, and a lot of almost headline news in this industry. And so as a result of that, there was a lot of moves, and that's kind of what intrigued me into it. Unfortunately, I did not catch much of the upside. I actually started off buying pretty much the top of that little boom, and then lost majority of the first account that I opened up shortly thereafter. After taking that little bit of a hit, I kind of moved into options. So again, it was a smaller account. Options was kind of the place that you could be in because it didn't require as much capital. And so I moved into options around 2013, 2014. I did okay with them. Wasn't really trading any crazy strategies, just simple outright puts and outright calls. And I did okay with it. But I quickly found out that options is a market that you need to know very, very well, very in depth, because of the way that they trade, because of the way that they're priced. And so again, something that I found, I dabbled in, didn't really find much success. And then I moved into currencies in around 2014, I think it was at the time. And currencies was where I basically found my home. This was a market that I was able to kind of trade more passively, going from more of a day trading kind of approach to the markets into more of a swing approach. And for me personally, my personality type, that's kind of what meshed well. And that's kind of where I found myself as far as trading. Now, how I met George and how I found myself at Trade Pro Academy is another interesting little story. And that story kind of takes us back around 5 years, almost 5 or 6 years. And George mentioned that he had been working at the iTrade, at the brokerage arm of Scotiabank. And so I was working in the branch side of Scotiabank. I was working as a financial advisor at the time. And George came in, he was a business development manager. And he came into the branch. The brokerage basically came up with a new, brand new, shiny stock screener that they wanted all the branch personnel to know so that we can get more branch clients onto the brokerage side of things. And I'll never forget, he was doing this presentation, and at one point he mentioned the same thing he just told you guys, that he was a trader on the desk. And as soon as I heard that, I thought to myself right away, you know, light bulb moment came in, this guy sounds like my kind of guy. And it's really where the relationship went from there. Shortly after that presentation, I took George into my office and we kind of sat there for 2 hours, just kind of speaking on trading, speaking on strategies, kind of what we were doing, what we were planning on doing. And ended up following George into the iTrade brokered side of the things. We didn't really work in the same departments. I ended up on the foreign exchange desk at iTrade. So what I was doing was a lot of currency transactions for retail and higher net worth clients. And so doing that, I got a lot of experience on the back end side of the brokerage industry, how everything works, you know, how trades are made, how trades are executed, how the order book is handled. And so in 2018, in May of 2018, I finally decided to make the jump after some encouraging words from George himself. And made that jump in May 2018 and joined the Trade Pro team around that time. And we recently joined the Trade Pro team as a full-time trader here. And that was in May or June of 2019. And that basically brings us to where we are today, bringing you this podcast called Mind Over Market. So really excited to bring this to you guys with George. And I really, really think you guys are going to find some very, very valuable insights on this episode and on the future coming episodes.
Awesome. Thanks, Mark. And thank you for co-hosting this with me. It's going to be a journey that we're embarking on. And ever since I met Mark, I knew that him and I would, in some capacity, shape, or form, work together in the coming years. And here we are. Who would have thought? Start a podcast together. Fun stuff. So as we dive in, now that you know a little bit about us, your hosts, it's important to really talk about what the premise of this show is going to be, what we're going to talk about over next, hopefully, thousands of episodes. So I want to start out with a question, ask you guys, the listener, whether you're driving, whatever you're doing, you know, what percentage of trading do you think is, or the percentage of trading that you could attribute at success from psychology? Like, what percentage of success does psychology represent in your personal trading? So I'm going to put that question out to you first, Mark. And just wondering, like, you personally, of your success, what percent would you attribute to the psychology that you bring with it?
For me personally, I feel like success in trading is, I'd say 100%. I'd even go as far as to say it's 150% psychology based, because for me,
you took my answer. That's what I was going to
say. For me, when, you know, when I started the whole trading journey, you kind of follow a journey in the sense that, you know, you kind of start from someone that doesn't know much. You find, you know, YouTube videos that show you strategies, one type of strategy, this type of strategy. Then you find technical indicators. And, you know, when you're new and you get introduced to technical indicators, they seem like the holy grail of trading. But then once you start to actually apply those strategies, you know, in live market conditions, or you're even back testing it, all those things seem great. You know, you can get great results when you're back testing things. But then once you go live, there's a huge shift that happens. Whereas in demo trading, you know, you'd be able to take trades. If you take a loss, you're able to take another trade right away without really thinking about it. But once you get into that live environment, and now you have live capital at risk, and that's really where the emotions start to come in. So yes, you know, while you can get great results back testing a strategy or strategies in demo environments, once you make that shift to a live environment where you're risking live capital, you know, everything that you learn about the strategy kind of dissipates, and it just becomes a game of survival, of emotional survival.
Everything you thought you knew
exactly
isn't serving you at this point. Yeah,
everything you thought you knew, all the time that you put in with the demo, you know, backtesting the strategy, as confident as you might be based on the statistics that you found in simulated environments, once you do go live, you know, those statistics, I don't want to say that they don't mean anything, they still mean something, but you'll find very quickly that psychology plays a huge role in your actual stats and the results that you're going to be getting once you actually start applying that in live markets.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I would actually say, I was going to answer the same way. 100%, I think, of trading boils down to your success mindset, which is your psychology. I think that in order to win consistently in trading, you have to already come in with a winning mindset. And that's what the whole premise of this podcast is going to be. So just to sort of tell you this, 70, 80, 100% of trading comes down to psychology based on who you talk to and how important it is to them. But how many outlets do you know that actually provide that kind of information? You know, there's very few providers of that type of education, other than obviously business empowerment, personal development, motivational stuff. You have to take that, interpret, and then apply it to trading. And when you're new, you know, maybe that's not something that's intuitive to you. So this is what we're going to do for you. We're going to take psychology and adapt it to trading. That's the whole premise of the podcast. And the way we're going to do that is we're going to start out with a 5-episode mini series on psychology overall. So this podcast will start out, the first 5 episodes will be very heavily focused on trading psychology and NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming. Once we bring you up to speed with that, we'll start to dive into very trading specific psychology elements. But like I mentioned earlier, you know, you have to come in with a success mindset in order to succeed. And that's what we're going to cultivate and develop in the first 5 episodes. It's a mini course at the beginning. Then we're going to go full-fledged and deep dive into trading concepts and the psychology of those things. And it's going to be exciting. And the good news is, Mark, you want to know the good news?
What's the good news, Georgie?
We're starting the first one right now, the first lesson.
That's awesome. One thing I also wanted to add, guys, is the reason why we chose Mind Over Markets and the reason why we decided to take this podcast in the route that we're going to be taking is because, you know, we've had that experience. We've gone from people that were new traders without really any knowledge of the industry. And, you know, now I'd say combined, we probably have over 25 years of, you know, trading experience. And the reason why we chose Mind Over Markets was because in the industry, you know, there's a lot of podcasts, there's a lot of information, and there's good information out there. And, you know, there's a little bit of okay information out there, you know, if you catch my drift. But overwhelmingly, we found that there was not really a single good source of trading psychology information. Sure, there might be a book here or there which may, you know, cover some of the blanket concepts of psychology, but in our experience and in our research, we haven't really seen anything that actually focuses specifically on the psychology of trading, breaks down the reasons why these things affect our own psyche, and then offers, you know, actionable solutions or home play so that you can kind of address those psychological challenges that may be, you know, affecting your performance. So that's just a quick little, you know, overscope of why Mind Over Markets and why this podcast is going to be presented in the way that it's going to be presented. So everything here is designed in a certain way, and that's to get you from being someone that's not so aware of the importance of trading psychology as far as performance is, you know, as far as performance is the result of performance. What we want to do is to get you guys in that right psyche, and then get you guys, and then we're going to address some of the common psychological challenges that can prevent you guys from getting the performance that you're looking for. So again, I really do hope you guys enjoy this one. And without further ado, let's go ahead and get started with the meat and potatoes of this one.
Love it. So let's talk about trading psychology. And first of all, let's, before we go into the trading aspect, let's talk about how your mind works. You guys, we have this beautiful brain that we've been given, and it's capable of a lot of calculations, computation. It's a very complex machine, and I don't think we've ever been given the user manual for how to use our brain. So we're going to do that. I found the lost user manual, and I'm going to give it to you. We're starting that with now. So let's break this down. In any given second, as you're sitting here driving, whatever you might be doing as you listen to this podcast, any given second, you're taking in 2.3 million bits of information. That means that you're noticing at this point how the temperature is in the room. Is it too hot? Is it too cold? Is it just right? All right, how do your socks feel on your big toe? As ridiculous as that sounds, you can now feel it now that I bring your attention to it. All right, what your posture's like? How fast are you breathing? All right, how do you feel? Are you happy? Are you smiling? All those bits of information are actually being picked up and stored on every second basis. This information is all being recorded subconsciously. But here's the fun part of this. How much do you think you process of that information? I would ask Mark, he knows the answer. So I'm asking you, as you're driving in the car, doing whatever it is you're doing, going about your day, what percentage of the information do you think you consciously process? Meaning that you're aware of the logical factor of it. What do you think it is? 50%? Half the information, 10% of the information. Well, here's the truth. The truth is the logical mind is not a good processor of information. You process just 126 bits per second. That means 0.005% of all information is logically interpreted, right? And think about what that means. When we trade, we tend to think the trading is a logical type of job. If we have the right information with the sound logic, we're going to get this right. Right? That's why we think we need to know mathematics, engineering. The problem is with that is the logical mind is not responsible for most of the decision-making. 99.995% of processing happens at the subconscious level, right? It would take you 5 hours to process 1 second of unfiltered, raw, and full reality. That means in 70 years of life, you would live just 331 days of reality. So in a way, it's a good thing that we're processing small chunks of information, right? I wouldn't take that trade-off. Would you, Mark, to process all of reality?
Not at all. And the one thing I want you guys to realize here is to fully take in 100% of a second of reality, that would take you 5 hours to process. All right? If that doesn't blow your mind, you know, I don't know what will. And one of the first things I was introduced to when I started on this route of trading psychology, working on my own psychology. And this one little fact in itself, the fact that you take in 2.3 million bits on a second and you only comprehend 126 bits, that's mind blowing, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, think about what that means. That's very impactful because we think that decisions we're making is based on reality, but we're actually just making decisions based on a subset of reality. Most of the decisions are made in the back, the unconscious part of your mind. So think about in a trade or any kind of decision you're making on a day-to-day basis, you logically think that you made the decision. But the problem is you've only influenced 0.005% of that decision. And the programming you've put in your subconscious mind is what's making the decisions for you. So let's talk about that. So how do you process that high level and that sheer complex and quantity amount of information? The subconscious mind does three things. It deletes, distorts, and generalizes information. Right, you basically execute repeatable programs so you don't have to logically think about all the information. The unconscious mind allows you to process those bits on a subconscious level so you don't have to worry about it. And you can worry about the things that will affect you the most. So it's creating your reality and your model of the world. And based on your upbringing, your values, it creates an interpretation of reality, if you will. Because if we look at the 2.3 million bits that everyone's interpreting, like me and Mark here at this moment are doing this podcast, his vision or version of reality is different than what mine is. And that's based on the programs we've written in our minds. These programs are, whether you like it or not, these programs change the outcome of your future in reality. These programs, the way you've written them, are going to either help you be successful in trading, or no matter what you do, unless you change the programming, are going to output failure, because you have to change that programming if you want to get the outcome. All right. So we're going to talk about that. And that's how, I mean, this is directly relevant to trading. And as we go through this mini course and start diving deeper into the trading concepts, we're going to bring it back to this kind of information that's foundational. All right. So what does that mean? That means that you have the ability to make decisions and also to change your programming. The good news is you don't have to live with the programs you've set. So we'll talk about living at cause next, because this is a very important thing in my life that's really changed and empowered me a ton. All right. That's a little experiment here, Mark. Are you ready?
Always.
All right. If you think back to the last situation that was argumentative, you know, it could be with a friend, coworker. Actually, we don't argue at work.
I think we get along pretty well.
We jive well, the trade protein. Yeah. But if you think about the last argument, you know, who won that argument? And it's probably a little unfair to ask you because you know the answer, the right one. But what would your average everyday, like what would your friends say if they get an argument? What do they usually do?
They'll usually blame it on some sort of external factor. You know, I wasn't able to do this because something didn't happen here, or I was expecting this to happen and it didn't, so I wasn't able to do this. And so it's more often than not, it's kind of pointing the finger at something external as opposed to kind of, you know, taking accountability for it yourself.
Yeah, and that's beautiful. That's exactly what living at cause boils down to, right? I know that when you can't achieve something, we've been taught to find external factors to put the blame on. The problem with that is, you know, we hear this in the business a lot, right? I mean, the right answer to that question is if you two people get in an argument, they're both responsible 100%. It's not 50-50, it's 100-100, because you're responsible for communication at 100%. And so, you know, we see this in trading and new people who start out, you know, I used to hear more of it. Now we're working with very high level, high performing traders, so we hear less of it. But here, if I only had more money, I could get in this business. You know, if I only had more time, it's easy for you because you do it full time.
Yeah.
But I didn't start out trading full time. I had to work and fight my way to this area. So if I only had more time, if my parents would let me do this, or if could, would, should, we hear all these statements. The problem with that is that you're putting blame on external factors. And at the end of the day, we are 100% responsible for every single thing we get, whether it's good or bad. You know, if it's something that you don't want in your life, what we need to revisit is, how did you create that outcome? How are you responsible for having that? Because you did. If you don't think you did it logically, you unconsciously were a contributing factor. And what you have in life today is a direct result of the program you've created for yourself and the choices you made. And this is part of living at cause. And the reason we bring this up in episode one is because imagine how life is different now that you live at cause, right? If you're able to say, you know, everything's my fault. And if you remove the word fault, everything is my responsibility. What does that do? It gives you power, right? It empowers you, because if you look at it that way, now you have the power to change. If you're blaming external factors, you're giving your power away to those external factors. You're living in effect of those things rather than living at cause for your own reality. It's very important as a trader, because I can tell you, traders who start out in effect, who don't shift the cause, have very little chance of doing this for the long term. And that's why it's so foundational important that we talk about this in the first episode.
Yeah, it's a great point that you bring up. And I think one of the, you know, the biggest changes for me when I was introduced to living at cause versus effect, and that big change was the fact of control. When you're living at effect, when you're letting things, external factors, control your results, then you have no personal control over those. Like Georgie said, you're not able to change anything because you don't have control over that situation.
And how helpless is that? Who wants to feel like they can't change their reality?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Right? So one of the things that I can say is, one of the analogies is, let's say you point a finger at somebody. If you're pointing a finger at somebody, you've got, what is that, four fingers pointing back at yourself?
I like it. It's true.
Right? You know what I mean? And so every kind of fault that you would find on somebody, if you're pointing your finger towards them, you've got three or four other fingers pointing back at you. So who's really at fault? You know what I mean? And so once you can kind of take back control by shifting your living from effect into cause, now you can go ahead and actually work towards getting those results that you want, because now you have, you're accountable to yourself and you have full control of what happens to you.
Absolutely. And you know, I practice this every single day, because here's the reality of the situation. You're going to go through life. Everyone means well. You know, I believe my philosophy is that everyone in life means well. And the actions that they create is just based on the model of their world. It's how they've created the reality. They could change it, but believe that they mean well. So whenever you get in situations of conflict, all right, in areas that you don't like, you know, if you're in a job that you don't like, if you're hopefully not, but if you're around friends you don't like, family, what you really need to do is ask yourself this one question. Look around you, do a little audit, if you will, or a survey of what you have in your life, and ask yourself, do I want this or not? Create a little list on a piece of paper, see what you have with the situation you're in, and say, do I want this? And if the answer is no, say, how am I a cause for having this? Right? It's great. It might be something you don't like. You might be in a job that you know, you're not satisfied with and you'd rather be trading. How am I a cause for this? And I can tell you that actually gets you to look at the problem with the ability to change. For me, when I said that to myself, I said, look, how am I a cause of being in this job that I'm not satisfied with? I'm a cause for it because I'm trying to provide safety for me, for my family, and I'm looking for safety. However, is this the only job in the world that provides me safety? Can I have safety in another way? And am I after safety or am I after opportunity? Because they're two different things. So when you're living at cause, you're really breaking down every single thing you own and you're answering the question, how am I a cause for this? And if you don't like it, how can I change this outcome? That's more important. Now we're shifting you from a victim mindset to an opportunity mindset where things blossom and grow. You know, this is like the soil in which you could plant a seed and nourish a beautiful flower once you start thinking this way. So that's been, you know, to me, living a cause has been a big shaping factor, not just trading related. I mean, how does it apply to trading? You lost some trades. You could blame your strategy. All right. You could blame the person you learned it from on YouTube for free in the comment section, whatever. However you came across the information, you could blame that. Or you could say, how am I a cause for it? And how can I change this so I don't lose these trades? Blew out an account. You're using a strategy that doesn't work. All right. You're a cause for all of that. And it's a very empowering statement. And I invite you guys to shift to living at cause with, you know, that's the whole goal of this episode. If you've really kind of been empowered by this and you feel motivated and you're like, heck yeah, I would probably get you to not submit your resignation quite yet. But you should feel excited. This is very empowering stuff. Because I'll tell you what, you guys have the ability to change your life in the best way, right? Whether it's through trading or whatever it is, once you change your psychology, you've already changed your life. You know, look at my family. We immigrated to Canada. We had nothing. I mean, I don't know if I've ever said this openly to anyone, but the first day we came to Canada was in 1993. We slept at the airport for 2 days because we didn't have nowhere to go. You know, my dad came in for a better lifestyle for us. And, you know, unfortunately, he wasn't able to find a job in his field, had to go to another field because it's a conundrum of, hey, I want to get a job. Where's your experience? Well, I need a job to get some experience. So you kind of fought in that cycle. And I look at those moments, and those moments to me are empowering, right? I was a cause for that. And I look at that as the clay to change myself. And what I'm telling you is this, if I could do it, you can too. I'm not special, right? I just really worked hard and I continue to work hard and I do what I love. And the second I'm in a situation that I don't love, how am I a cause for it? And I change it. So that's what I challenge you guys to do. Live a cause, commit to it. What percentage of the time should you live a cause?
All the time.
There you go.
And I will add this. One of the things, you know, George mentioned and what we've been saying is the reason why it's so important to live at cause is if you think about it, if you're living at effect and you have a problem, for example, and you blame that problem on an external factor, you're not really opening up your mind to find the opportunities to change that, right? Whereas if you're living at cause now, if you're living at cause and you're saying, all right, how am I in effect of this? How am I at cause for this, rather? And now, instead of, you know, pointing your finger at something else and closing off your mind, the fact that you're saying, how am I at cause for this, opens up your mind to start looking for, you know, the opportunities or the solutions. Whereas if you're staying in effect, you're going to close off your mind to bringing in and attracting what you want, right? So I think that's something important to mention as well, is that living at cause has a psychological shift in the way that you think. And when you're looking for the opportunities in the, you know, if you're looking for opportunities in the hard lessons, instead of, all right, I lost money today, you know, trading is not for me, this always happens to me. If you're looking at it and approaching trading that kind of way versus, you know, all right, I took a loss, how am I at cause for this? Where can I work? What can I work on in order to prevent things like this from happening? You're not going to be able to prevent all your losses, but what this does is kind of opens up your mind to find the opportunities to get you into the place where you need to be. Whereas if you just take the loss and you're saying, all right, I got a crappy strategy, that's not really going to do much for the performance.
Yeah, that's not productive. Like when you ask, how are you a cause for that? You take a bad day and you turn it into a learning day. Whereas if you're living in effect of something, you take a bad day and you turn it into a really bad day through emotionality. You give it life through giving it energy. So be a cause. You know, I challenge you to do that. And I'll give you one question, which tends to change people's thinking and paradigms. You know, you might be perceived rude in some social circles for asking this question. But let me tell you this. All right, I'd rather be real than try to present an image. And I ask people this openly and flatly whenever I hear a lot of these statements. They'll say, you know, I really don't like this job. This sucks. You know what I asked them? I said, how are you at cause for that? And it'll get them to really think. You're not trying to reject somebody's statement. You're not trying to question their model of the world. All you're trying to ask them is, how are you a cause for that? It shifts their thinking and you guys start to turn towards opportunities. That's a question I'll leave with you for today's episode. Ask yourself and others around you, how are you a cause for that? And you're going to turn things around and get the performance mindset and cultivate the mindset necessary for success in trading and, more importantly, in life. So I'd love to hear from you guys in this first episode. How did you like it? Do you have any questions? And are you now living a cause? Thank you so much for tuning in. Mark, it's a great first episode. I had fun.
Yeah, so did I. Really enjoying putting this together for you guys. And we've got a lot of exciting stuff coming out for you guys coming shortly. All right, so make sure to tune in into the next week. We got a really exciting episode on the functions of the subconscious mind. And until then, you guys, good luck and good trading.
Hey, you guys, take care and goodbye.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Mind Over Market podcast. You can find us at tradeproacademy.com.